Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Growing older? Me too. We all are. The days seem to fly by, and over time, people change. As your life goes on, are you the same person you were as a youngster? I know I'm not. Recently, we explored an all-around good guy who had lots of troubles. Remarkably, he's given three chapters in Scripture, which is very unusual. So he deserves another look as he grows older. First, I suggest check out our initial content that launched Scripture Dissection Materials, Tear Into It. That episode explains how and why we introduce Scripture dissection exercises periodically. You'll remember our recent episode, The Fifth King. For additional backstory, check out the prequel to it, Four Successful Generations. So now, look up 2 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse 13, all the way through chapter 20 to verse 21. Here's a bullet backstory of developments in my own words. Okay, so Hezekiah is a stunning example of integrity rising from a dysfunctional, ungodly family. After Hezekiah successfully launches as king, he has many experiences. At one point, the Assyrian king conquers Judah where Hezekiah reigns. Hezekiah asks him to withdraw, and he'll pay any fee. The cost is great, but Hezekiah pays it. Next point, the Assyrian king sends representatives with messages in a letter. In response, Hezekiah sends three men to receive the messages. Next point. Incidentally, people on the city wall can hear the interaction. Sadly, the messages are full of deception, taunting, lies, and slander about God. Next point. The enemy's purpose is to entice the people not to listen to Hezekiah, who keeps telling them to trust in the Lord. Next point, the three men Hezekiah sends ask the Assyrian messengers to speak in Aramaic rather than the common language of Judah, since the people on the wall can understand. Well, uncooperatively, the representatives talk even louder with taunting, slanderous words to not trust God. Next point, thankfully, Hezekiah had previously told the people not to answer. Be silent. When Hezekiah's representatives return to tell everything and show the letter, he tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth. His concern is not only for himself, his people, and the slander, it's also for the disregard and mocking of the living God. Hezekiah sends messengers to get Isaiah's counsel, and Isaiah responds with, "Do not be afraid because of the words you have heard." That's from 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 6. Next point, the onslaught from these men continues, escalating to blasphemy. "Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you," from chapter 19, verse 10. Yes, that's an escalation. In essence, the attack is against God himself. The next point, the back and forth reveals the enemy's heart is naive, arrogant, and self-exalting. What happens next? Hezekiah takes the enemy's letter to the temple and spreads it out before God. Then he does something powerful. He prays. Hezekiah encourages himself in the Lord by acknowledging the truth. First of all, he addresses the God of Israel. Then he says, "God of Israel, who is enthroned above." And then, God who is alone enthroned over all earth's kingdoms, the creator of heaven and earth. Basically, Hezekiah packs his prayer with truth and worship from a sincere heart, chapter 19, verse 15. And then, with a renewed and accurate perspective, he appeals for God's help. Please hear and see my situation. Please save us. And then chapter 19, verses 16 through 19 says, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know you are God alone. God hears and he answers. Additionally, he affirms he's fully aware and in control. Then he graciously informs Hezekiah the current trial will involve circumstances and time, so patience is required. But he also promises, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David, chapter 19, verse 34. Essentially, God not only offers to help Hezekiah, he also declares he can take care of himself. Another point, after this special interactive prayer with God, an answer comes that very night. The angel of the Lord strikes down 185,000 enemy soldiers. As a result, the Assyrian king goes home. Sometime later, his own sons murder him as he worships an idol. But there's still more. Even though Hezekiah is a great king who pleases God, he has a life filled with troubles, threats, and he finally contracts a terminal illness. Isaiah tells him he will not recover. But Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and prays for mercy as he sheds bitter tears. Interestingly, God changes his mind. Chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. Next point. After giving that bad news, Isaiah is already leaving, but God gives a new word to Isaiah to tell Hezekiah. So Isaiah turns around to tell the king that he'll have 15 more years to live. Hezekiah does recover. However, years later, he begins making mistakes and has some lapses in judgment. He shows off his wealth to an enemy envoy from Babylon. Next point. Consequently, God tells Hezekiah that his wealth will be taken from him by Babylon. And additionally, some of his sons will be taken to Babylon to serve there. Next point. Sadly, as God exposes Hezekiah's recent mistakes, in additional years granted to him to live, he also exposes Hezekiah has become unfocused, even lazy in his walk with God. Next point. Indeed, as his life goes on, Hezekiah cares more for himself than his family and kingdom. How disappointing! God weighs in on this change with judgment on future generations. Embarrassingly, Hezekiah says to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not? If there's peace and security in my days." Chapter 20, verse 19. What a change! What happened to this great man to become so self-focused and self-preserving? Hezekiah changed during the years God added to his life after his illness. All right, let's tear into as your life goes on. As always, there are four categories we explore in Scripture Dissection. What does it say? What does it mean? Make it personal and make a commitment. So, under what does it say? Without repeating all the previous data points, the message seems simple and profound. Hezekiah's fabulous beginning as a young king grows into impressive leadership. Additionally, he pleases God. As his years, troubles, and persecutions add up, Hezekiah seems to lose something. Upon hearing he will die, his desperate pleas become self-focused to preserve his life. Nevertheless, God's incredible grace abounds as he grants Hezekiah 15 more years. Hezekiah could have lived these additional years as a timeless example throughout centuries, but he starts slipping. Essentially, his perspective shifts, and he makes mistakes, becomes overconfident, he misses some things, and even brags. This great king changed during the years God added onto his life, and not in a good way. All right, the second section we always talk about is what does it mean? In these sometimes confusing chapters, there are some life lessons. Let's go through the points. First of all, even when you are faithful to God and tear down high places, and for more on high places, you can check out the fifth king. Then the next point is that some people relentlessly rise up against you. And the next point, to discredit and slander you. The next point, to plant seeds of doubt in your heart about God. Next point, to offer a deceptive, glorious alternative to trusting God. Hearing eloquent, convincing arguments, you can slip. Next point, some unhelpful people may even say the Lord sends them. Next point, you may not know when or how intervention will come as sufferings linger. Nevertheless, remain quiet before the Lord. As 2 Kings 18:30 and Isaiah 36:15 both say, surely he will deliver. Next point, as you wait on the Lord, pause to do the following things. Reflect. Pray. Regroup. Apply the eventual answer God provides, and practice patience and faith. Next point, God's answers often are not direct or immediate. In fact, you may need to stay the course. After all, he's working where you cannot see. And incidentally, this awareness provides comfort and joy as you wait. Next point. Additionally, God's correction on Hezekiah for showing the enemy his wealth is a strong teaching on setting healthy boundaries and exercising wisdom and caution. So, in summary of all those points, it is critical to live focused, to be resolved, and not become arrogant as your life goes on. Alrighty, the next section is make it personal. Whatever time is given to you, always walk with God. Enjoy Him, life, and other people. Carry out responsibilities using your skill sets, your abilities, and experiences to serve God. He'll reward you. Ask God for wisdom and humility. You know, sometimes people falsely think they're invincible. Accept your limits and turn to God. He welcomes you and He loves you. When you don't understand or when you feel overwhelmed, do what Hezekiah did in his younger years. Take concerns to God in prayer. Lay them all out in front of Him. Speak truth and listen for God's comfort and direction. During a season of silent waiting during difficulties, know with confidence the Lord hears all the words of the threat. From 2 Kings 19:4. Stay close to God in your sufferings. Incidentally, if God adds years to your life, keep healthy boundaries in place. People can change for good or for bad. Why not use change to be healthy in Christ as your life goes on? And the fourth section is make a commitment. And this is where the application thoughts and questions come in. Number one, do you ever wonder in your troubles if God hears or sees your sufferings? Two, list ways you can stay focused to avoid becoming self-focused as your life goes on. Three, are you purposefully enjoying life with God and others? Four, what fresh approach to prayer can you adopt to come closer to Him? Five, when begging for God's intervention, set your perspective to avoid mistakes, overconfidence, missing things, and bragging. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use the online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.